Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast on the text line. Shout out to Ellen Ryan winning. And yes, we just mentioned that earlier. Ellen Ryan amongst the gold medals for Australia at the Commonwealth Games this morning in the women's singles in the lawn bowls. So Ellen Ryan, the youngest member of the lawn bowls team, winning gold for Australia this morning. Now, how about these two, by the way, Bulldog and Loz in the hat break? Both, well, Bulldog's going to go and check his tyre pressure after work, and Loz goes, "I'll come with you."
What could go wrong?
I mean,
this must be videoed.
Can someone please give a suburb so if anyone's around, just
on the way
to
through,
see Daly and Bulldog,
the Shell server.
Well, I'm going with Bulldog to make sure he does it correctly.
Oh,
that's the only
right,
reason
right,
I'm going.
Well, that fills me with confidence.
I want to see him see how he does it. And it can be the test case. If the tyre goes flat, I know I've got to do something different.
I know exactly what I'm doing now. I've been taught by our wonderful readers. They are on top of this.
Oh. Yes.
Well, you thought you put different tyre pressure in different tyres.
Well, the great Keen Booker's just text saying there's four different temperatures in four different tyres if it's over 28 degrees. So I assume Mr. Booker, thank you for your input. It's being a smart aleck.
All right. Now, Denny Wilder from the Nine Network's coming up. And last night he spoke with Tony Mestrov in his story on Nine News. Let's take a listen and then we'll speak to Denny.
I don't think we've got a split team on our hands. I think we've got a team that are hurting in some way. I thought the team that went out on Thursday did an amazing job. And obviously we're going to see the players that didn't play come back. So I don't think it's split. I think some players feel hurt in all different ways, including the players that didn't play.
So you're not concerned that the players won't be able to get along from this point?
I'm not concerned. Look, I'm not saying they're not hurting. I'm not saying that there might be some differing opinions, but that's what a team's all about. It's about bringing that together.
From the Nine Network, Denny Wilder, good morning.
Morning, gents. Well, it wasn't really a flat denial of some issues in the Manly squad, was it? I mean, there's hurt, there's blokes having differing opinions. It doesn't sound necessarily smooth sailing. But, guys, I can tell you I've been in contact with people from the Manly Seven, and they're saying that things are actually in a good place. So that's developing. So I'm taking those people on their word that they feel like things are progressing and things are actually in a good place now. A little bit different to what Tony Mestrov was saying. Bulldog, I'm sure you've got a lot of intel coming out of Manly there, somewhat a club you're close to. I mean, are you hearing similar or not?
Danny, I think you're spot on with the Manly Seven. I think it's the players that played. They're the ones that have got the main issue. The mail I keep hearing is, you know, it's varying depending on who you talk to, but you know, there is issues there. Well, there are issues, I should say. And that, you know, one meeting may not be enough just to fix it, Danny. As I said to Laurie before on air in the middle, there's no giving this argument. Everyone is staying quite staunch. And you know, those that have the beliefs either way aren't really sort of giving up any ground.
It's interesting. I think there was a mediator was brought in. And that's someone who obviously will try and get the two sides together. I mean, it's probably wrong to call them two sides, but maybe two groups together. And it, well, I could understand from each perspective why there would be tension. And I think that Bulldog people like you and me and others who are asking questions probably only make it a worse situation, doesn't it? Because it keeps bringing it up and keeps highlighting it. But I was really impressed with Tony Mestrov. You guys would all know him well. But geez, he's an impressive character. He used the line, "He's going to make Manly great again." So he's
got the Donald Trump hat.
You'd love that, Bulldog. That's right up your alley.
What happened? You should have had the hat with you in the back page of the paper. See, that's why you didn't get the back page.
Right? Okay.
You needed the photo, as Buzz has always said. Get the bloody photo.
I'll pass on your advice to our editors.
I like Laurie's advice. It's good.
Hey, Danny, I spoke to Tony myself yesterday. He is impressive. He will be a good appointment. He's a straight shooter. And I guess the key here will be the relationship he builds with Dez, because obviously Dez is a very influential figure at Manly, but they had coffee down at Narrabeen last Saturday, so it sounds like the relationship between those two is off to a solid start.
That's the number one relationship, isn't it? Because Dez runs Manly. Let's not muck around. He is a man who runs that club, and he's been doing that for some time. Now it's going to be interesting to see whether he's going to take some direction from Tony Mestrov, because I think they played together
92.
At one point. Yeah, and that's a long time ago, but they played together, and I think that Tony would understand Dez, and Dez is a not in a bad way, but he's someone who likes to control things, and he likes things to be his way. So it's going to be interesting to see how they manage that, how they manage his contract, because there's more clauses in his contract than most coaching contracts, because you know he was picked up by Manly at a time when probably Dez's stocks weren't high, so Manly were able to influence the way his contract was structured. And there has been lengthy negotiations going on previously with Stephen Humphries to try and remove clauses. I asked Tony yesterday whether those clauses would be removed, and he said we're not going to put our private business out in public, which is a bit different to what they've done in the past, he said. So he's. I think there will be ongoing talks to try and restructure Dez's contract because there are all these performance parts to it where he has to win certain, or has to finish in certain places to trigger extensions, and I don't think Dez likes that, and I think that he'll be pushing hard to get to remove those kind of clauses from his contract. So it's going to be, I'd call it almost a shift in power with Tony coming there. Whether Dez will stomach that, I'm not quite sure. So it's going to be really interesting to watch. I think you know Dez Hasler really well, and you know how he operates, Bulldog.
Yeah, and I think that Dez is. I just can't see Dez not being there at the end of next year. Now, whether I think he'll be there for another couple of seasons at least, but the dynamic between the CEO and the coach certainly needs to work. But what about all this controversy with the Nelson Asofa Solomona tackle, Denny? Where did you stand on it?
Oh, I can't make sense of it. I respect all of the people who are making these decisions, and I respect the match review committee. I just find it bewildering. Minimal contact is the line we're given regarding Nelson Asofa Solomona and that tackle. Now, I know there are other ways to damage your teeth in a tackle, but to me, is it just a coincidence that happened in that tackle? I don't know. I find it. I watch that tackle and I listen to explanations, and my head spins. I don't know how you guys are processing it, but I find it really hard to understand.
I think we all agree that he should have at least got 1 or 2 weeks, at least.
Joey said 4 months.
4 months? Yeah, I don't think I would have went that far.
Joey does get a bit excited.
No, but I understand where he's coming from, because I think the frustration is obviously there when you're trying to look at why people are charged and why they're not charged, and then you see one that looks like he should be spending time on the sideline, and it doesn't happen. It just leaves everyone a little bit confused.
Well, the suits at the NRL have been doing their best to spin everything and try and explain things to us, but I listen to the explanations and I find them to be just words, not really making a lot of sense to me. And I don't know how much sense they're making to a lot of people out there. Bulldog, you've covered thousands of judiciary hearings, and you've seen these things. You're an expert in that area. I'd imagine you'd have some strong opinions on where how they explained it.
Yeah, look, I'm with Laurie, Danny. It was certainly a week or two. I thought it was a fairly clear cut. Some of the decisions coming out of there at the moment are bewildering. What about this one then, Danny? 5 weeks for Nathan Cleary and 5 weeks for Corey Waddell. look, apples, it's apples and oranges. I get that. They're different charges. I do. But to pass the pub test, it seemed like an inconsistency there. And I've got to be honest, Danny, I don't know about you, but I thought 5 weeks for Nathan was about right. I'm a bit astounded that some people think it was excessive. Nathan's a leader. He's an ambassador. He's a champion player. But it was a bad tackle. And I reckon they got it right with five, if not even six.
Look, I can't argue five. I think that it was everybody loves Nathan Cleary, respects him as a player, one of the smartest players in rugby league, and he's someone who is very conscious of everything he does. He practices everything, and he obviously made a mistake in that tackle. It could have been really bad, and I think that he had to get 5 weeks. It just there is no. I think Nathan would accept that himself. I know Ivan said yesterday. I think he thought it was a bit tough, but I don't think there was no value in Penrith challenging it, and suddenly somehow he got 6 weeks, and then he misses a final. So I think that 5 weeks is fine.
The thing with me on that tackle, Denny, and I agree, five weeks is the right penalty, is the fact that he didn't need to do that second grab and put his arm between his legs. I think if that didn't happen, you can drive in with your shoulder and someone is involved in the upper part of the body and you're tackling around the waist and you drive and lift, I can see how that could go wrong and you get a lesser penalty for that. But the fact was they had him and then he had that second attempt and put his arm in between his leg and then lifted and went on with the tackle. I think that's the reason why he was charged with a grade three.
It was just a classic tackle and like classic spear tackle. And unfortunately, it's not the very worst one we've ever seen by a long stretch, but it was a bad one.
Yeah, and you've got to get rid of these tackles. They're the bad tackles. They can be catastrophic, so that's why you've got to get rid of them.
Cannot have them. And Nathan regretted it from the moment he did it. With the Corey Waddell one, I just don't understand that at all. I don't personally think it was an eye gouge.
No, neither do I.
And I know
it was a raking motion, Daddy, and you stay away from the eyes, we know that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the true sense of an eye gouge. I thought 5 weeks was incredibly excessive.
You put that on top of Dale Finucane's one. I know you can't say it because you labelled a dinosaur or a buffhead, but I just don't know the way that some of the decisions are happening. I don't understand them. I don't know if we're watching a different game now to what to one that Laurie played, obviously. It feels a little bit foreign, and I think that it often gets described as a match review committee lotto, and you don't know which way it's going to come down. It's very hard to predict, and it's a major issue for the game. It's a serious issue for the game, and I know the guys in there are doing their very best, but gee, it feels like if you took it to I think we all talk about consistency and common sense, and I think that there needs to be more of that.
Danny, the Newcastle Knights, I'm just calling up the competition ladder now, running 14th. They've won 5 from 19. I think they've won 2 games at home from 10. Adam O'Brien, I believe, has another 2 years remaining on his existing contract. What's his future?
I think the Knights are about that's where I thought they'd finish. And I'm not saying it's a good result. I just don't think it's that surprising. I think their roster is really imbalanced. A lot of their money's in their forwards, who are unfortunately aging. Now, you could see that David Clemmer was making moves to try and leave yesterday. Obviously, he can't be that happy there. I don't think they've got a lot of value out of their forwards and out of their big purchases. I still don't think your man, Kalen Ponga, Bulldog, has really delivered for them to the extent that he should have. He plays better for Queensland than for Newcastle. And I think that their roster is a big issue. And I was really perplexed with what Adam O'Brien said. He's a smart man. But then to suddenly put himself separate to the team results by saying that he had been to four grand finals. Well, that's basically saying, well, look, I'm good enough. You guys aren't. That to me was separation. And that is alarm bells. That is real alarm bells for
he's feeling the pressure, Denny.
Yeah, well,
he's feeling the pressure.
He wouldn't say that on a Tuesday.
No.
Would he?
No. You're feeling the pressure when you've been beaten. You know that the blowtorch is going to be applied. You know where the angle of the journalists are going to go because of the season you've had, and you've got that well prepared, and you're the one putting it out there. That's just not an off-the-cuff line either.
No, well, Laurie, do you agree he's separating from his team result?
No, I don't. What I think he's done, he's basically reminding everyone in that media conference that, listen, this is what I've done. This is my background. I'm just reminding you that I can do this. I've had a great apprenticeship. So even though you might want to take me down the road of I'm not good enough, my time is up here in Newcastle, and you think I can't do the job, he's sort of reinforcing the fact that I've done an apprenticeship. I know how to get us out of this place.
That's where right, I think, though, Laurie.
I think that's
right.
Where he's coming from.
That must make the players feel like they are the ones
who
are failing.
Well, when are the players going to take accountability? We say this all the time with coaches. You know, the coach can only do so much, but the players at some stage, regardless of whether you like the coach or not, you've got to go out there and put in a strong personal performance that you can be proud of, your fans can be proud of. And when you walk off the field, you know you've done your job.
But, Laurie, Adam O'Brien, like by quoting the four grand finals or whatever he said, right, there are other people involved in those four grand finals, like the head coaches. You know, they had a role.
Yep.
It wasn't just Adam O'Brien getting them down. I'm not coming down on Adam, but I just think it was a wrong thing to say. I think that he has separated himself. I think he's almost put himself above his team in a way and said, I'm a good enough coach, you guys aren't good enough players. And that may be the case.
Yeah, see, I see it the other way. I see it as him just reinforcing to the media, because I think he thought that the narrative out of this press conference and where it was going to go was that you want me out of a job, and that's the line that's going to be coming. So he wanted to reinforce to the media that, hey, listen, I know what it takes. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I think that's the way he would have been approaching it rather than separating himself. And when you look at it, yes, you can understand how that looks, but I think in his own mind, that's what he was thinking it was going to play out.
I saw Buzz said something that he reckons that Adam O'Brien's got 6 weeks next season to prove himself. Well, how is that healthy going into if Adam's agreeing with that, what Buzz said, how is that healthy going into next year? So he's got a whole off season where he's got to somehow he's got to find a halfback. He's got to get Kalen Ponga firing. He's got to turn the pack into the players that are earning their keep, and he reckons he might only have 6 weeks next year to do it all. A player's going to respect him.
Well, he's got a target on his back straight away.
Oh, mate, it's
straight away.
It's very difficult.
Can I ask you, mate? You said there before about Clemmer wanting to leave Newcastle. Why wouldn't Newcastle allow that to happen when he takes up a fair chunk of their salary cap? And it is an ageing roster, and they probably need a bit of a shake-up. Why wouldn't they have allowed that to happen?
Don't know. Well, look, it was going around yesterday that he was being linked to Parramatta. I don't know why, in the end, it didn't happen. I think there was some push for him to get an extended deal at Parramatta. Bulldog, you might know more of that. But clearly, there is some appetite for him not to be there. And he's actually played all right.
I think he has too, but I'm just thinking, well, if they need to change their roster, if they moved Clem on, Clem gets another contract at Parramatta, and they free up salary cap space to go and grab a halfback that they're looking for.
Who are they going to get as a halfback, Laurie?
Well, I think a guy like Luke Brooks. I know Shenzi said he mightn't release him, but, you know, Shenzi's also said he's on way too much money. And they think that they could work with him. I heard Joey saying that he'd love to get his hands on him. I'm assuming Joey's still the attack coach up there, is he?
I think so, yeah. So, Laurie, would you base... So you're Adam, right, and you've agreed that you've probably got 6 weeks to turn your career around.
Yeah.
Do you base it on Luke Brooks potentially coming there?
Well, I think he's going to do something different. If he doesn't do anything different, he's going to get the same result. And if you're talking about making decisions on salary cap management, sometimes you've got to let the big dogs go, the works on the highest price, and move them on and get something for them and try and rejuvenate your squad or regenerate your squad with different faces in different positions of better quality.
What it says, though, like, we're clutching at straws for Adam. I mean, imagine how he's feeling, given that, you know, I think they've finished about where their roster is, and I don't know if there's going to be any huge improvements to it. And, you know, if they're chasing Luke Brooks, well, in theory, that could be good, but it's not a lock. It's not a lock that he's going to turn them around. It's just, it feels like the pressure's mounting, and I know he's got a contract there, and we all know, you know, that he's done stuff in the past as an assistant, and he's got Newcastle to the finals a couple of times.
It might be a Jackson Hastings. I don't know. I'm just sort of throwing it out there. But
you're tossing some tigers up. Did that lunch with Sheens, he give you some insight, did it, Laurie?
No, he just told me how he was keen to sign these players, but I know that he's keen to play a brand of football that he believes will win competitions and adapt to today's game. And that's the way they're going to manage their roster.
Sounds like 05.
Well, he's an attacking coach. Put it that way, Tim Sheens.
Did he offer you a gig, Laurie?
No gig was on the table for me, Denny.
Are you sure?
I'm too busy. Stop digging and trying to dig up a story, Denny.
You could coach him from the leafy North Shore. Just... phone in, zoom a few.
Zoom. Oh, you could zoom. I'd be a Zoom coach. There you go. If I could coach over Zoom.
You'd be muted all the time. Have to leave it there, Denny. Thanks so much, mate.
Guys. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. And, the Comm Games this morning, we've had gold medals galore. And even in the lawn bowls, the judo. And, of course, the swimming, where Emma McKeon won gold in the 50 fly. We saw Kyle Chalmers win gold in the 50 metres freestyle as well this morning. There was also Kaylee McEwen in the 200 metres backstroke. And I mentioned the judo. And that was gold for Tinker Easton, who's from the South Coast, 26-year-old. And apparently a big upset against her Canadian opponent to win gold for Australia, and our youngest member of the lawn bowls team, Ellen Ryan, gold in the women's singles over there in Birmingham as well. Just some other news around the traps as well. Now, we're going to be hearing more and more about this in the next few weeks in regards to Aussie golfer, British Open champion, world number two, Cam Smith. Reports in the US indicate that Cam Smith is all but certain to join the LIV Tour, but just don't expect an announcement until after the FedEx Cup is completed later this month. By the way, Forbes over there in the States saying that Phil Mickelson is the world's highest paid sportsman over the past year. And that's courtesy, of course, of his LIV payment. He shot six over on the weekend.
Well, he was one of the first to sign, wasn't he?
He was up there. Him and, was it Dustin Johnson?
Yeah, and Mickelson was one of the first. So.
For a reported $200 million US, when half of that was an upfront payment, according to reports.
Yeah. I think that Cam Smith will go to that tour. I think he had the opportunity to knock it on the head if it wasn't going to happen. And I think, you know, the reports would be right. But I don't know whether he's just sort of waiting and seeing whether people's minds... you know, it may change towards him, or he's just waiting for that FedEx tour and then he's off.
I'm always intrigued by this. Why do sports people have this moral aversion to admitting they're doing something for the money?
100%.
I've got no problem with it. And I'm not money hungry, but if the money's there, There's no shame in taking the money to set up yourself and your family.
Not at all.
But a lot of people will say, I'm not doing this for the money, or it's not about the money. It is about the money, and that's fine. I've got no problem whatsoever. Loz, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all.
But I don't want to be deemed as being greedy or money hungry, but that's just setting up your family. That's just common sense.
Yeah,
if he's been offered $100 million, take it, Cameron.
Well, most people would take it. Most people, if you sat in a room and an offer was given to you where you're just going to earn, as much money as you ever thought possible you would earn in a sport, everyone would be telling you, you'd be silly not to do it. You need to do it. You need to take that money. It sets your family up. It sets your kids up, their kids.
It's generational.
It's generational wealth. That's exactly right.
Mm. And while we're on golf, Luke Donald, former world number one, Englishman, confirmed he's Europe's new Ryder Cup captain for next year's contest against the USA in Rome, and he's replacing the sacked Henrik Stenson, who, guess what? After defecting to Liv, went out and won the tournament on the weekend, £3.3 million. So he collected $5.76 million Australian dollars in his first tournament over there in Liv Golf after, well, leaving. Well, he was sacked, essentially, as Europe's captain after defecting to that tour. So there you go there. In Formula One, Fernando Alonso is off to Aston Martin next year to replace the retiring Sebastian Vettel. And that means there is a huge chance 21-year-old Aussie Oscar Piastri, who's currently the reserve driver for the Alpine team, will join Esteban Ocon next year as one of the two drivers there for the Alpine team. So hopefully we'll have two Aussies in Formula One, although we know the pressure that Daniel Ricciardo is apparently under there at McLaren and had another unhappy outing there at the Hungarian Grand Prix. He's under contract, though, for next year, Ricciardo, so that is going to be one to watch for sure, though. And, well, the World Cup is 111 days away today till it starts in Qatar on November 21st. And the Socceroos' path to the 2026 edition, which is to be in the US, Canada and Mexico, is taking shape. That expands to 48 countries, remember, in 2026 from the 32 it's been for a long, long time. And the Asian Confederation will have at least 8 and possibly 9 countries there, and will likely play 16 World Cup qualifiers on the way to hopefully qualifying for it. At the moment, there's 6 Asian Confederation teams in the tournament this year, and that includes the host nation, Qatar, who normally, let's face it, probably wouldn't make it. But 32 to 48 countries, I reckon you can make a real argument that dilutes the tournament to a degree.
So our pathway
should be
to
easier.
To get there should basically be easier. Yeah. So we should be qualifying.
From now on, now that it's going to 48 countries,
yep,
more countries from Asia get there, you would think. Getting over that hump against Peru.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing for us.
Very good thing for us. But I don't agree with the expansion to 48 countries for the World
Cup. Going to be a lot of lopsided results through nations that clearly shouldn't be there if they're up against
definitely
an elite nation. I guess in the end, the best nation will win. And I'm assuming, Mido, this would be for financial purposes?
Oh, without a doubt. Mm.
I love this text, Mido. Mitch from Robertson. Why am I picturing Loz coaching via Zoom and giving the team a big pep talk, but not putting his microphone on?
Well, that's because it would happen. It's $1.10.
He could just, that is so you, Loz.
And you'd be standing up getting animated as well.
I'd be trying to press every button. I'd be blaming other people.
You know the vacant looks the players would be giving each other, looking at each other, going, what the hell's going on here?
Honestly, in half an hour, anyone around Forestville, just look around the service stations and look for these two, please.
Dumb
on the
dumber
northern suburbs of Sydney, testing the tyre pressure in their cars. There is dead set a fast forward episode or
remember
something.
Remember the Dumb and Dumber? Remember the car had the dog on it? That'd be us.
One of the all-time great shows. Oh. One of the all-timers.
Robbo.
Good morning, boys. How are we all?
Good. How are you?
Oh, a bit cool this morning. Yeah, good. Just about to take the dog for a walk.
Is the sun out or is it raining?
No, it's a beautiful day out there.
Oh, very, look forward to that.
Yeah, I can just picture you in the service station flexing while you've got the little hose down there on the...
Yeah, well, I want to just watch Bulldog's style and see how he pumps up tyres, because I reckon he's got no idea, Robbo.
He's got nothing.
I don't like Robbo. Robbo, I don't like Laurie questioning my manhood. He's questioning my masculinity here, and I'll prove him wrong. Well, that I can get into the mechanic shop and mix it with anybody.
Yeah, yeah. What's a spanner look like?
It looks like pliers, one. Don't they?
Listen, two things. Firstly, you were talking about the dress sense and that before, weren't you not? About getting your gear off?
Yep.
Well, fancy asking one L Daily about that.
Yeah, correct, fancy. Robbo.
Well, what's wrong with it? It's natural.
Sorry, here's a bloke. You played for the Raiders in the middle of the winter in Canberra, the coldest place capital in the world.
Yep.
There you go. You go to a nightclub in your jeans wearing a 10-year-old's vest.
That was my favourite vest too.
What do you mean his heyday? He did that last week.
I was at Shady Pines.
Yeah, so we won't go any further. Now, listen, just on this date of the transfer date.
Yep.
It's got to stop. This has become a joke now in the sense that you have a roster. What's the roster, Bulldog? 26 players?
Oh, about 30.
30 players, all right. So now you're in trouble with injuries, suspensions, whatever. Every club has an affiliated reserve grade. I'm correct there?
Yep.
But all of a sudden we can go and borrow players from another club. So your 30 is not 30 contractors. 30 plus 33, we've got three loan players.
Yeah, I think you'll see it's changed at the end of this season, Robbo. I think Peter Vlandy's made a strong comment in today's paper that he doesn't like it, the fans don't like it, and I think you'll be seeing it going back to June 30. I think it rubs people up the wrong way when you have a team capable of getting one or two extra players into their squad 5 weeks out from a final series and try and help them win a grand final.
Well, you're right, but let's look at it. You've got a reserve grade. What does that tell the boys in running around and in reserve grade? You got no chance because they're just going to pull players from other clubs, so it's got to change.
That's a fair call. Although I think a lot of the clubs, when they've identified a player that they've gone to target, the reason they're doing that is because they've had a number of injuries in that one position. So Melbourne, for instance, I think they've got about four or five guys in the outside backs that have gone down with injury.
Because they felt like
so their depth has been tested.
And if they felt like they could pluck someone from New South Wales Cup in that position, they would.
They would. That's exactly right. But I think they feel as though they haven't got that player, and the amount of injuries that they've got is compounding it all.
Fans don't like it unless you're a fan of a club who's doing it. And then suddenly you think, oh, you beauty, we've just picked up Jim and Joe Bloggs on the eve of the finals, you little ripper.
Yeah.
So a fan, as much as I don't particularly like it, and most fans don't, depends what team you barrack for and depends whether those teams can manage to secure players late in the season.
How about these texts, Steve here? What are the odds the Bulldog and Loz will be calling NRMA while at the servo? Well, the odds are shortening, Steve. Good luck, Bulldog, with putting air into your tyres. Sounds like today will be a momentous day in your life. So glad that your good mate Laurie is accompanying you for moral support. Go Harry and Lloyd.
Harry and Lloyd. Names?
Harry Dunn. Lloyd Christmas.
Lloyd Christmas.
Two of the best.
Actually, but Steve, text in again with NRMA's number. That'd be handy. That way I've got a head start.
Are you a member?
No. Are you?
Yes.
Beautiful. I can work on my car there.
Why don't you remember?
I think it lapsed for some reason. I'm not sure why.
So it lapsed. So you know it just lapsed.
Yeah.
Usually you just find out. Mm. And when you find out it lapsed.
I don't need to be a member.
You
I ring
up
you.
And go again.
Yeah, no. I don't know what happened there. Yeah. Bottom line is, we're in a lot of trouble. Yeah.
What's your best line out of Dumb and Dumber, do you think?
I did love Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Very funny show. Or movie, I should say.
You said I'm a chance.
Yeah. That's hard to beat.
Oh, it is.
Dave Stanley, morning to you, mate.
Morning, boys. I've come in late here. What are you referring to with the... Are you guys travelling somewhere?
No, they need to check the tyre pressure in their cars, and they're going to do it together.
Why?
I've never done it before.
You haven't done it?
No.
Yeah, but don't you have one of those flash cars with the sensors that tells you...
I don't know. I've never done it.
I thought that's something you did every 4 years.
You give that to other people to do?
No, they're on the car now. Well, it was Pup that was talking about this, but yeah, they're on the car and it tells you if the tyres are flat and you've got to fill them up.
Yeah, Pup would be all over
this. Oh, Pup would be all over
this. Do you reckon Pup's the type of bloke that he'd be seen at the Coles Servo fill up his tyres, or would he send someone down to fill up the tyres? What do you reckon?
Wouldn't be so there.
Nah, and if he was caught, I reckon if he was caught filling the tyres, he'd have the singlet on, the grease look. It'd be like he was working on the car. It'd be very, very good. Have we heard from him? Do we know where he is?
No.
Not at all?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay.
Nothing.
How do you feel about that?
I think the boys are disappointed.
Was that more so though? You wanted to live vicariously just through him?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
but he just needed to let us go, didn't he?
Yeah, he needed to cut
3 weeks.
Do you reckon he'd be? You know, how do you reckon he'd go, boys? If he was, you know, walking down downtown Lebanon, and you know, a super fan just walked up with a big sports breakfast cap and shirt and just wanted to have a yarn about, you know.
Well, I think he'd be surprised.
He'd be surprised.
Head down, keep walking.
He'd be surprised. That's very, very good. And Dumb and Dumber quotes.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the one.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
What's the one where they sell the bird? That's what I'm trying to remember. Remember they sell the bird?
I was just trying to think of that line. Hang on. You know what I've done here, Dave? I'm just...
You're Googling quotes.
Googling, yep. Best lines out of Dumb and Dumber.
Because this is what Loz does, and he's admitted it to me. Yeah. When he hears a good joke, he writes it down, takes it down to the pub, goes to the bathroom to memorise it, comes out and impresses his mates.
That's how you deliver it. You're
practising the toilet.
So I'll go into the toilet.
Look in the mirror.
Cubicle.
All about delivery. Cubicle. Right.
And just sort of think about it.
Right.
So my delivery when I get out there is spot on.
Spot on.
Because I know if I said it straight out before I thought about it, it wouldn't come out as good.
So you're desperate for a laugh. Yep. You will go and sit in a male public toilet for 10 minutes, 15 minutes,
and they get worried about me. I wonder where I go.
So you'll sit in a public facility for 10 minutes just for a laugh.
Yeah, it's my local pub.
Okay.
And what, go rehashing lines, and then keep going. And how disappointed are you when you come out and no one's picked up on what you've...
Or no one laughs. That'd be the worst thing.
Never happened to me.
Never happened to me.
They always laugh.
We just learn more and more. We just learn more and more, Middo, about... and how is, before we get to Racing HQ and the lineup, Bulldog, any exclusives coming up? You are Mr. Worldwide.
They call me Mr. Global now, mate.
Mr. Global?
Yeah. No, nothing yet. There's a few little bites today, though.
Okay. Is there any pressure to get the exclusives? Like, do you have the team meeting earlier in the week and just say, look, Bulldog, if you don't produce, you know, you are also a carton? Like, how does it work there at the team?
Actually, I want to ask this question too, Dean. So you wake up of a morning, does something just come into your mind?
He's like Paul McCartney.
Did something just come into your mind and you sit there and think about what you want or what angle you want to take? Yeah. Or are you relying on informants, say?
Informants.
They just say, mate, I'm hearing this has happened. Look into it. How do you work? How do you operate?
I've got multiple people out there who will text. I've already got two texts this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
How are you going? Where are we going for a beer?
Who's unhappy? Who's not?
Right.
These very informants used to be you when you were coaching the Origin team.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then it'd be like, then Laurie go, what about the leaks in this camp? I can't believe it.
I never, ever leaked to you in the Origin camp.
All right, well,
I had the team before you did.
Yeah, where did you ever get that from?
No, I can't tell you that. It was actually, a witcher. You know what? I wrote a story one day and he didn't find out. And he put the acid on me.
That is something I've never, ever asked you. Everyone thought it was me.
Yeah. It was Josh Morris breaking down and he got ruled out.
There was something.
And I broke the story on the back page. Big exclusive. Morris breaks down. So I rang you and I said, Laurie, you've never lied to me.
Yes.
You said, I haven't. I said, well, don't start now. I won't. And to his credit, he confirmed the story.
But what,
and then there was a witch hunt the next day.
How did you
find out?
I need to find out that.
I'm not going to give up my sources.
You had solid troops, didn't you, Loz? You had good.
Jeez, I remember at the time. I thought I did, but yeah.
But the Origin team always gets leaked.
Yeah, well, he used to get it.
Always.
And people, because of our association, used to always think that it was him. And what I would do, because I'd say I wouldn't lie, I would. He'd ask me about certain players. I say, mate, always in the mix. He's in the mix. That was always the go-to, in the mix.
And what was the best one he did?
And you always gave him one wrong one.
Yeah, just to get me at arm's length.
So you give him 16 of the 17.
Yeah, he didn't care about me getting it wrong.
Outstanding.
And what was when you kept either Ennis or Farrah in camp, even though they were never going to play, but you kept them in camp just to keep everyone guessing?
All of that one?
Oh, I can't remember. Probably.
Yeah,
very, very funny. Hey, boys, Barbara Joseph, Richard Callender, Tim Saladin, Carl Mower, John Van Overmeer, Ash Morgan. We're off to Coffs Harbour tomorrow. Myself and Luke, we've got the Coffs Harbour Cup Calcutta at the Moonee Beach Hotel tomorrow night, and we're going to be live on Thursday from Coffs for the big cup day. Carl Mower from the Short Group is going to be joining us a little bit later on. They've got 120 tequilas. They've got it's their speciality up there at the Moonee Beach Hotel, and they've got a big Mexican restaurant, and no one's said a bad word about it to me yet, so I can give you plenty of feedback tomorrow evening and Thursday morning, boys. But that's our show today as we build up towards the Coffs Harbour Cup. You go and enjoy blue skies today in Sydney, boys.
Thank you, Bulldog, by the way.
Yeah, well done,
cameo today.
Thank you. I think I'm back next Tuesday.
Beautiful.
I think.
No, I've had a conversation.
I think. And, not telling
it's not
me.
Great news.
Okay. He's in the mix. He's in the mix, Loz. Yes. He's in the mix. Bulldog, you're in the mix next week. You're in the mix. Go and enjoy your day, boys.
Thanks,
and look forward to the exclusives tomorrow.